Today I'm going to talk to you about the word in 1 Samuel, and it's quite a long book, and so I'm going to divide it into two. I'm going to deal with the first half of the story up until the coming of David, and then when I speak again on the 13th of June, I'll speak about the reign of David and God's hand in that. When you have a chance to read this book, please do so, because I'm summarising it today, and it for the sake of brevity, but it's no substitute for God's word, so please read it for yourself from the Bible. At the time of the events in 1 Samuel, there was a man called Elkanah who had two wives. Their names were Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah gave her husband children, but Hannah had none. Elkanah shared sacrificial food with Peninnah and the children, but he gave Hannah double portion because he loved her. Now Hannah was provoked and irritated by the other wife because she had no children. And she prayed to God. She was a godly woman, and she prayed to God for children, the gift of children. And she did this for a number of years, apparently. But one day when she was in the temple and in the presence of Eli, she cried out to the Lord and prayed for the gift of a child, taking an oath to give a son to study under Eli to serve God. And I'm going to read those verses which cover those events. Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. And after a short while, Hannah was with child. And when a son was born, she named him Samuel. And when he was weaned, Hannah took him to Eli the judge. And she said, So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And then she said a remarkable prayer of thanks. And in my notes I've said it's the same prayer that our Lord's mother used. But in fact it wasn't exactly the same prayer. But the same themes and sentiments were expressed in Mary's prayer, which is now referred to as the Magnificat of Mary. And I think it's worthy of reading this whole prayer, because it somehow encapsulates the whole meaning of the events that took place in 1 Samuel. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Lord Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This whole story of Hannah, I think, is a beautiful story. It demonstrated Hannah's love and trust in God. She was prepared to give her son to the Lord to serve him for the rest of her life, his life. Samuel became Israel's last judge. That Samuel did this was a testimony to his commitment. But he also honored his mother and father. It tells us that if we put God at the center of our lives and pray despite difficulties, God will answer our prayers and use us in extraordinary ways. Samuel stayed with Eli and studied and learnt from him. Eli, however, had sinned with his 2 sons by taking inappropriate cuts of meat from the people's sacrifices, which were not prescribed by God. A man of God came to Eli and told him what the Lord God had said to him. He said that Eli and his sons would die. Eli's sons would not reach old age, and Eli and they would die on the same day. Thus Eli's line would end, and God would choose another priest who would obey him. A short while after this, God called to Samuel 3 times in the night, and thinking Eli was calling him, he went to his master. On the 3rd occasion, Eli realized that it was God who was speaking, and told Samuel to say, "Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening." God told Samuel what would befall Eli and his sons, and Eli insisted that Samuel tell him what the Lord had said. Samuel continued to receive God's word, and all Israel knew the word, and Samuel was attested a prophet. In chapter 4, we hear how the Philistines grew in strength and kept attacking the Israelites inland from Gaza. Interesting. Gaza. The Israelites went out to attack the Philistines, but were defeated. The elders of Israel then asked for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought forward. The Philistines feared this, but fought and inflicted a heavy defeat on Israel and captured the Ark. Eli's 2 sons were killed. Eli heard of his son's death, but when he was told that the ark had been captured, he fell off of his chair and broke his neck. Thus God's judgment was fulfilled. The Philistines held the ark for about 7 months, during which time they suffered greatly with fear and tumors. They took their elders' advice and returned the ark with a chest containing guilt offerings, which were 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats. The reason I understand that it was 5 was that the Philistines, most of the Philistines lived in 5 cities. So it was an offering from each of the cities. Now the Philistines didn't want to return the ark themselves. So they had a cart drawn by 2 cows who had calved. And the cart was set off carrying the ark and offerings and arrived at Beth Shemesh at the border. Israel celebrated in joy, but God put 70 men to death for defying him and looking inside the ark. The ark was then moved to Kiriath Jearim and guarded by a consecrated man called Eleazar. For the next 20 years, Israel continued to ignore the Lord, but Samuel kept reminding them and asked them if they were serious about the Lord, they should gather at Mizpah. There he told them to fast and repent, which they did. Samuel was the leader at Mizpah. When the Philistines knew that Israel was at Mizpah, they attacked. The Israelites were afraid, but continued to cry out to the Lord. Samuel sacrificed a young lamb. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf. God brought thunder and the ground shook. The Philistines took fright and were routed and fled. Israel rushed out and killed many Philistines. The Philistines were subdued by God, and Samuel continued to judge Israel for the rest of his life. Now Samuel had 2 sons, Joel and Abijah. He appointed them judges, and they served at Beersheba. It is not said if the Lord commissioned this. And Samuel was growing old and weaker and appointed his sons to help him. But the sons did not walk in Samuel's ways. They turned aside and sinned by dishonest gain and bribery. They perverted the course of justice. The elders of Israel gathered and told Samuel about his sons and asked Samuel to appoint a king. Samuel was uncertain and concerned about this, and he prayed this to the Lord. And the Lord told him that he should listen to the people. He should warn them that they have not accepted God as their king, and an earthly king will do all manner of things to them. Samuel told the people this, but they still wanted a king. God told Samuel to give them a king. Now, Kish, a Benjamite, had some standing, and he had a son called Saul. Saul was a handsome young man and taller than most. Some donkeys belonging to Kish were lost, so Saul took a servant and went to find them. After a time, and not finding the donkeys, Saul said to his servant, "Let us return, or my father will worry about me." But the servant told Saul that there was a seer in a nearby town who was respected, and what he said came true. Saul had no gift for the seer, but his servant offered him a 1/4 silver shekel. As they neared the town, some women told Saul that the man of God was there to shortly offer a sacrifice. As they entered the town, Samuel approached them on the way to the high place. Samuel told Saul to go to the high place ahead of him, for he, Saul, was to eat with Samuel. Samuel said, "The donkeys are found, and you and your family are Israel's desire." At the meal, Saul was given a choice piece of meat. The following morning, Samuel spoke to Saul alone, so he could give him a message from God. Samuel then anointed Saul as ruler over God's inheritance. He gave Saul specific instructions about what he should do as he returned to his father, and said he was to wait for 7 days until Samuel came to him with further instructions. As Saul left Samuel, God changed his heart, and on reaching Gibeah, prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came on him powerfully. Samuel then summoned Israel to the Lord at Mizpah. The tribes were brought forward by lot, including the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan. Finally, Saul, the son of Kish, was called, but he could not be found. He had hidden himself. He was found and brought forward, and Saul declared him as the Lord's chosen one, king of Israel. The people said, "Long live the king." Samuel then explained the rights and duties of kingship, wrote them down on a scroll, and set it before the Lord. The people were dismissed, and they returned to their homes. Some men despised Saul and did not accept him as king and brought no gifts. But Saul remained silent. Nahash, an Ammonite, besieged Jabesh-Gilead. The men of Jabesh said, "Make treaty with us and we will be subject to you." But Nahash gave the elders 7 days' grace to see if any in Israel would come to rescue them. When Saul heard of their plight, and powerfully filled with the Lord's Spirit, he gathered a large army and told the men of Jabesh they would be rescued. Saul's army slaughtered most of the Ammonites, with just a few escaping. The people then asked Saul, who had rejected him as king, "Turn them over to us and we will put them to death." But Saul told them, "No one would be put to death on the day the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel told the people to make their way to Gilgal to renew the kingship. Saul was made king in the presence of the Lord. Fellowship offerings were made, and there was great rejoicing. I think what's interesting in all of that is that Israel had turned their back, they had turned aside from God. But he gave them what they wanted, what they asked for. And we know from what happens later that there was a purpose in God doing that. But what happened that moment was that Israel moved from being a theocracy led by God to a monarchy led by a king. And Samuel makes a farewell speech in 1 Samuel 12. And again, it absolutely describes the situation where Israel was with God and what they had to be so careful about. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. "As for me, I am old and grey, and my sons are here with me. I've been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Who have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." And the people said, "You have not cheated or oppressed us. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." And Samuel said, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they said, "He is witness," they said. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors up out of Egypt. Thou now stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hands of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered them from the hands of your enemies all around you, so that you lived in safety." And I'm just going to turn to the end of that farewell message. "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish." So what can we learn from these events? In Hannah's story, we see a godly woman who also loved her husband. It distressed her that she could not give her husband a son. Hannah was persistent in her prayer over many years and took an oath to give her firstborn, if he was a son, to God. Can you imagine the sacrifice she made? Her son was handed over after weaning so that the bond between her and Samuel did not become so strong that she could not keep her promise and he would not serve God. After all the years of waiting, she gave up her child, not knowing if she would have another. God blessed her for her faith and love, and he will also do this for us when we believe and trust in him. Eli was a servant of the Lord, but he and his sons disobeyed God. How could he have thought that God would not know or care? I am drawn back to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. We need to understand that yes, God forgives us through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus upon repentance. But we also need to know that God may allow us to suffer the consequences of our bad choices. In our suffering, we may think that God is punishing us, but God may be testing us and quelling our rebellious nature. Samuel, a godly man, received God's word. He obediently spoke these to the people and became their prophet. After 20 years of encouraging Israel to turn back to God when the Philistines mounted another attack, Samuel told the people to gather at Mizpah. He told them to fast and repent as the leader and judge of Israel. Samuel called out to God, and God answered and gave Israel the victory. From that point, Samuel was the leader and judge. But even he made a mistake. And that was, he appointed his sons to judge alongside him because he was getting old and weak. But his sons were not godly, but corrupt. They were to be replaced by a king, although Samuel would continue as a man of God and judge. That is such a lesson for us. We think that we can be serving God, but sometimes it becomes almost a ritual. We can pray, we can work for God, but we must always remember that God is our King, our all-powerful King, and we need to give him the respect that he deserves. When Saul was chosen by God to be king, he knew, that's God, knew he was a godly man with attributes which the people would think were kingly. He was taller than most men and good-looking. When he went to find his father's donkeys, he was honouring his father. When he made a gift to Samuel, he was honouring the seer. Samuel told Saul to eat with him, and Saul was humble and reminded Samuel that he came from the least of the tribes. It was a good beginning, but we know that Saul later in his life failed God. Saul was anointed king, and immediately the Spirit of God was powerfully on him. When Israel was threatened, Saul acted decisively and defeated the Ammonites. He was confirmed king at Gilgal, and the people must have thought they had a warrior king, a protector of the nation. Samuel had warned them of what God said about an earthly king, and that they should return to God in obedience. God had chosen Saul as a king, knowing that he would finally fail him. Saul was to reign for 42 years, but God was waiting for David to be born and to be prepared to replace Saul and become the great godly king he did. The lesson the king and the people had to learn was that God was a powerful king who they kept turning from and disobeying. And the lesson is the same for us. Amen.